love that song. Because I think it should serve as a good reminder to us that he never fails us. When we make a request, when we petition, when we ask the Lord, when we ask God, as believers, we know that the answer is always yes and amen, don't we? Father God, we thank you that your answer is always yes and amen. When we come before you, Father, and ask, when we come before you and declare your blessings and your promises over our lives, Father, we thank you for that. God, I thank you that we can come in full of confidence into your throne room and ask and know that we will receive. God, we thank you for your blessings that you pour out onto each of us each and every day. We thank you that we see miracles each and every day. And Father, I pray that you'll stir our hearts into more each day. You'll stir us and call us into more, and that because we know you're calling us, but as we call us, God, I pray that our feet will be activated and we will walk in and step into the more that you have for us. Father, that we'll go through that open heaven door that's there, and that as you've called us to, and we walk in the blessings, and we walk in the promises, we walk in the miracles, we walk in the abundance, Father, I pray that we will know it is because of you. So God, today I pray that we will be stirred, that we'll be encouraged, and we'll be blessed by you. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. It's been quite a day already today. On Thursday we got the phone call that Ella gets to finally take her driver's test. So we're high-fiving because that means no more early mornings when she gets her driver's license. For us, for her, she still has early mornings because she still has to drive into the city, but we don't have to take her to practice 5 days a week. Well, her and Nora. So I was quite excited, and the guy said, "How does Friday sound?" This was Thursday at 4. I was like, "Like tomorrow Friday?" And he said, "No, next Friday." So I passed on the message of the date and time to Stacy, and Ella went into panic mode. And she's like, "Tomorrow Friday?" Because she hasn't parallel parked yet. So Friday night after school and everything, we set up vehicles and she practiced parallel parking and has become a probe almost in our yard. So today we're going to practice parallel parking in the mean streets of Rosetown, which is going to be fun, except we didn't decide this until about 2 minutes before I was leaving, and we were going to bring her car in. So I forgot my wallet, I forgot my church keys, but it's okay because Stacy left the house early and got here and let me in, so that was great. But we're going to talk today about the name of Jesus, and we're starting a series that's about authority. And over the next few weeks, we're gonna see how this plays out with respect to, I know how it's gonna play out. You're gonna see how it's gonna play out by what I say. So if I say something this week, you're like, but just give it a couple weeks. Just like when we talked about offense, give it a few weeks. And maybe this week you're going to hear something that's just really going to resonate with you, which I believe it will. I believe that what we're going to talk about is really going to impact us. I believe. So, the name of Jesus. What does that mean to you? The name of Jesus. See, I remember hearing stories from my grandpa. My grandpa Henry, he fought in World War II, and his mom, I remember him telling stories about how his mom told me if something's going on, just to pray and to call in the name of Jesus. And I remember like a number of stories, but one in particular, and I think I might have shared this with you guys before, but I remember one story in particular that they were in, I think it was France. Now, I could be wrong. He's not going to tell me because he's passed away, but that's okay. It's my story now. I'm telling it. But I remember him telling this story, and they were in a clearing, and all of a sudden, the Allied planes are flying overhead, and they started shooting at their own people mistakenly. Because, I mean, back then, the technology communication stuff isn't what it is today. And so they mistakenly start shooting at the Canadians. And I remember the story of my grandpa saying, like, everybody got to cover, and my grandpa's stuck in the middle, and he's just running. And bullets are flying by his head, whizzing by his head. He could hear them. They're flying by his feet. And he just starts praying, and he calls out to Jesus to save him. And at the moment he had finished his prayer, my grandpa tripped and fell, and the bullet stopped. And at that same moment is when the forces found out that they were shooting at their own people. And it really, it was one of the stories my grandpa loved to share with us, with me. And I know all of his grandkids about the name of Jesus and the power there and how Jesus protects, how Jesus is there. And I don't do that story full justice, because what the notes he shares and the things he shares with what happened and his call on Jesus was very specific. But I was taught that Jesus also heals us and Jesus protects us. Has anybody else been taught that? Right? Amen? The name of Jesus is something that sends demons running, doesn't it? They flee at that name. I remember myself waking up one night. This was many years ago. I don't even know which kids were born. Maybe it was just Eleanor and Seth. And waking up in our house and feeling like a heavy weight was on my chest and that I was being choked and I couldn't breathe. And I could just hear breathing and, like, not Stacy snoring, because she doesn't snore, but just like this, you know, this breathing. And it was just like, oh, I don't know what, I can't even describe the sound. And I couldn't get anything out of my mouth. I was trying to talk, I was trying to fight, and I couldn't move. It felt like I was being choked, and my hands were pinned at the same time. And I remember, finally, I could finally get the words out, and I finally got the name of Jesus out. And instantly, as soon as that name of Jesus came out of my mouth, as soon as I could vocalize it, I remember hearing a crazy weird noise, and then doors slamming, and then the kids all waking up crying and the dog barking. Do you remember this, Stacy? And it was the oddest thing to experience. I'd never experienced anything really like that. But, you know, I remember at that moment knowing the power of the name of Jesus and remembering and having some of those stories come back to me. See, we need to bring glory to the name of Jesus, don't we? We should have faith in the name of Jesus, shouldn't we? And when we use the name of Jesus, there is an instant response because of the authority in the name of Jesus, right? See, as believers, we need to use the name of Jesus, because when we become believers, and we talked about this when we talked about being the ultimate warrior, but we gain that inheritance, so it's no longer just us coming into the throne room of God. It's us and Jesus, right? Do you remember this? And I had my arm behind it, and God doesn't just look at this as just Dave anymore, but he's looking at it as Jesus and Dave, right? When we come into that throne room with Jesus, we have some promises with us. We have promises from the Word of God because of Jesus. We have inheritance. We have rights because of Jesus, don't we? Good. I'm glad I'm not talking to myself right now. Because when we have these promises from Scripture, when we have promises from Jesus, what do we have with that? We have peace, don't we? We get healing, don't we? We have protection. I dare say we should have some boldness, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? Shouldn't we have boldness when we have the name of Jesus and we have that banner of Jesus over our head? We should have boldness, don't we? So how can we hide and we just sit there like this as believers. We shouldn't be, should we? We should be rising up with authority that Jesus has given us. I really like this echo. It makes me feel like I'm quite... But do you know what I'm saying? We should have the... We should be walking around and not, oh, I'm just a lowly little Christian and I'm really nothing. We have authority and boldness because we have Jesus, don't we? And we can enter into that throne room of God and live our life with authority because we have Jesus, right? It's funny, when I was walking through the message in my head, I kept talking and saying the name of Jesus like I was like a Southern Baptist and, you know, the name of Jesus. That's a really bad Southern Baptist, but you know what I mean? That was my voice, and I don't know why I went there every time I'd say it. But I really... Let's just talk about it. The name of Jesus is so powerful, though, isn't it? It's so powerful. And we come to the Father, to God, and we ask things in the name of Jesus. We come before God, and we got Jesus and Dave, Jesus and Bill, Jesus and Kat, Jesus and all of you, right? When you come into the throne room of God, and you're asking, which we're going to talk about in a few moments, it's not just Dave asking, it's Jesus and Dave. And I specifically say Jesus and Dave because of our inheritance that Jesus gave us. So John 14:12-14 tells us this. Oh, that went away. Okay, it's back. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. John 14:12-14. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whoever you ask in my name, this I will do." Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. I also forgot contacts this morning. Don't worry. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will" what? I'll consider it. I might do it. Maybe I'll do it. No. Oh, it's gone. I will do it. That's what it says. I will do it. Right? I will do it. It's not a question. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. I will do it. And there are pieces to the puzzle that we need to understand and act on and basically align with in order for this to be true. There are some few critical things of the scripture that we need to understand as well. So the word ask here, I've got this awesome software called Logos, and it just lets you go through all the different languages, okay, and what each of these words mean. So my Logos software tells me that the word ask, because it seems like a weak word, okay? And let me explain. When I ask my parents something, I might get it, I might not. So if he's saying, "I will do it" on anything you ask, yeah, it makes, the words make sense. I don't know why it's doing that. Sorry, guys. The word makes sense a little bit, but I feel like it should be a stronger word. So when I go to my software and my concordance and look it up, the word ask is actually not like a beg or a plead, which so many people do. It's not, "Dear God, pretty please with a cherry on top, can you fix my knee? I got a limp." That's not what it is. See, the word ask actually means to declare, doesn't it? Are we not declaring things over our lives? Are we not speaking them out? When we speak things out, it's not an ask as we see. And that's why I knew it had to be a stronger word than just asking. It's a declaration. It's a speaking out. Shouldn't that change how we approach things then? Doesn't that change how we approach God in these asks? See, we need to be asking, declaring, and speaking. So let's read that verse again. Let's rephrase that, okay? I want to rephrase that. And it says, "Whatever you declare in my name, This I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you declare anything in my name, I will do it. So are you declaring things in the name of Jesus over your life? Are you declaring healing? Are you declaring prosperity? Because that's what his word is. That's what his word tells us that comes with Jesus. And in turn, the disciples were this is Jesus telling the disciples, and we know that disciples are people that make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, right? It's an exponential growth. That's what a disciple does. A disciple teaches for the purpose of passing on and sending out more disciples. That's what a disciple does. So Jesus is telling the disciples this, because this is something that they're supposed to tell other disciples, new believers who are going to become disciples, okay? Are you following with me on this? Other than the flashing screen behind me? So the disciples are supposed to pass on their knowledge and the teaching that Jesus taught them on how to act, how to approach situations that needed prayer, how to pray for people. And upon then, up until that point, what did they do? What did the disciples do? Oftentimes they didn't pray. Oftentimes they would run to Jesus, right? Wouldn't they? Like, think about when they're in the boat. Did they speak to the storm? When the waves are crashing and Jesus is asleep? Is that what happened? No. What'd they do? They ran and got Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's a storm. We're all going to die. We're doomed. Is that what happened? Yeah. So they didn't understand, and this is Jesus trying to teach them the authority that they have because of him and because of what he did. I've been reading a lot about the name of Jesus and the authority that we should be using and aren't using yet, the authority that we should be yielding like a sword, but we don't yield. We don't understand, we don't think, we don't know. There's lots of reasons why. But I was having some discussion with a friend who listened to a sermon about Jesus. And I don't know who the pastor was that made the statement, but it said, the statement was basically, using the name of Jesus is a bit like having the power of attorney. And I never thought about that way before until, this was about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, he told me this, when I had begun studying this idea, because we were going to be going here in September. This was part of the plan. And when he shared that with me at the beginning of October, I was like, oh, this is perfect. That's a great explanation. So does everybody here know what the power of attorney is? Good. So for those of you that don't know, a power of attorney basically gives you access to all the resources, funds, everything that person that you're the power of attorney for or power of attorney with has, right? You have access to all their resources. Everything that person owns, everything that person has, all of their rights, all of their privileges, every benefit that person has that you are now power of attorney for now applies to you, doesn't it? Essentially, I'm not digging deep into the legal side. I'm not, I guess I wouldn't be Judge Dave Miskel, but you know what I mean. I'm not like a professional lawyer to explain every intricacy, but I'm just trying to give you the basic lowdown of what a power of attorney could be. And I think this is a good analogy because the name of Jesus really is the power of attorney we carry when we speak the name of Jesus. We carry power of attorney with the name of Jesus. So there's a peace in the name of Jesus, isn't there? When we know Jesus, we know peace, don't we? So when we say, when we have that power of attorney of Jesus, we have peace. There's healing in the name of Jesus, isn't there? And we said these earlier. There's prosperity in the name of Jesus. It unlocks resources and the wealth of God when we have the name of Jesus over us, doesn't it? Because we have the power of attorney that Jesus brings. And as I shared my story earlier about what I experienced when I just spoke the name of Jesus and that demon ran, the name of Jesus sends the enemy running. Doesn't he? So I'm going to jump back to the month of April for a second. And do you remember when we talked about the ultimate warrior back in April? And when we come into the throne room, like I was just mentioning earlier, and how we have Dave and Jesus, we're coming in with Jesus. And when we come in with Jesus, we inherit all the benefits of Jesus, because that's our power of attorney. God doesn't see Dave, he sees Jesus. And when I have that power of attorney, it's not Dave, it's Jesus. And that's what happens when we're believers. We inherit it, we inherit the benefits of Jesus, and can approach God with confidence, with boldness, with wisdom. We can approach God because as believers we are in Him. We are righteous in Jesus, aren't we? When we know Jesus. We don't approach God on our own. We approach God with Jesus. We're healed in Jesus, aren't we? We're His. We're Jesus. We belong to Jesus, and we are one. We are not who we are on our own. We are who we are in Jesus. John 16, 23, 24 says, in that day you ask nothing of me, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. See, this teaching Jesus was doing was preparing his disciples for his departure. Preparing them and knowing that a disciple is someone who passes that teaching down, like we've talked about. And disciples would go out and would go out after Jesus told them to go out and share the good news, share the gospel, teach what I taught. And they would go out and say that, you know, what did they do before? Jesus, there's this need. Jesus, this person needs healing. Now they know they can go out and they can pray and they can declare in the name of Jesus and that person will be healed. Now it changes things, doesn't it? Didn't it change their approach? Didn't it change their ministry? In the name of Jesus, right? See, Jesus is telling them there's coming a day soon. He didn't tell them I'm leaving tomorrow, but he said there's a day coming soon where I'm not going to be here, but you can go to my Father, and you can go to Him and ask Him anything, and you can approach Him using the power of attorney that I've given you when you accepted me, and you can go there, go to the Father, and instill, enlist that power of attorney, and declare, request, speak out to God in the name of Jesus, and it will be done. Isn't that basically what that verse is saying there? In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father, in my name he will give it to you. That's what that verse is basically saying. So let's read it again. Did I put it the other way with declare? Maybe not. So let's read it again with declare. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you declare of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. To me, that one word, even though it doesn't seem like a big deal, that's what the word ask is really saying. So if you're declaring of the Father in the name of Jesus, he says he will give it to you. That isn't a maybe he'll answer. Is that what it says there? He might give it to you if you're good that day. If you declare it, if you're living according to the what I've laid out, if you declare it, he will give it to you. And then it says that until now you have asked, declared, spoken nothing in my name. Ask, declare it, and you will receive it, so that your joy will be full. You'll receive it. Not that you might receive it, but you will receive it. We will receive it. And bear with me, because we're going to talk more about this over the next few weeks. If you're like, well, there's more to this picture. And yes, you're right, there is more to this picture that we're going to talk about. But there's the principle, the name of Jesus, that I really want to hit home today. See, we can live in a fullness of joy because of answered prayers, can't we? We know that when we declare and ask, he is going to answer our prayers. And we're going to ask, and we're going to receive, so that our joy may be full. When we ask in Jesus' name, we will receive it. Do you believe that this morning? So then we get into the old argument, okay? This argument, I'm glad we talked about offense for the past few weeks, because now we're going to get into the argument, okay? Are you ready for the argument? But I want to suffer for Jesus. I'm suffering for Jesus. I want to be sick because I'm suffering for Jesus. Have you ever heard a believer say that? Has anybody? I've heard it too often. I'm sick and tired, and I would just like to shake people when they say, I'm suffering for Jesus. Because we're not called to suffer for Jesus in the matter that people are using suffering for Jesus. Okay? See, I think too many people, too many believers make suffering their goal. Too many believers say, well, this is the cross that the Lord has given me, and I'm going to bear it and carry it. And I'm going to do so with pride. And it's like an award. Like being sick or poor or depressed, that's your badge of honor because you're doing it right. And too many people believe that, and I hope that you don't believe that. And if you do, you need to know this, that is not from the Bible. Doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that I'm going to suffer sickness because I'm a Christian. It doesn't say anywhere I'm going to be poor because I'm a Christian. I'm going to be sick because I'm a believer. Doesn't say, have you read that? The only time in Scripture we read about suffering for Jesus is when we're preaching the gospel, and that isn't sickness or lack or anything else. That's people coming against you, and far too often, it is the believers that are actually coming against the people that are speaking. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And I'm not saying it's you people, but maybe somebody's watching, and it's like, yeah, I guess I have done that. It's only when we're preaching the gospel, somebody's going to come against you, speak against you. And far too often it's believers. I've never read the promises of God are going to make you sick. Have you? Anybody? Because it's not there. I've never read anywhere in the Bible, well, if you become a believer, better make sure you drop your change at the door because you don't get anything anymore. You're walking along with the clothes on your back, and that is it. Anybody read that? No hands. What about, well, when you become a believer, you know what? Look out because things are going to come at you. And hear me. Just being a believer, not preaching the gospel, but people are going to, when you become a believer, people are going to come at you. People are going to come at you when you're sharing the gospel, when you're sharing the good news. That is the only time. We have promises of being bold, don't we? It doesn't say when you become a believer, you become a mouse. You become a doormat. Is that what it says? No, we have boldness. We have authority. Now that we are believers, we have authority, don't we? Okay. I'm holding you to it. I'm holding you to it. And so the next number of weeks, I'm not done, so don't think I'm done. I'm just giving you a foreshadowing. The next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about authority and understanding who we are because we belong to God. Because we are heirs to the throne with Jesus, like we talked about in the series, The Ultimate Warrior. And the fun thing is if you attend Wednesday night Bible studies with Nathan, you're probably going to get smacked with even deeper preaching than I can do on a Sunday morning. Right, Nathan? Serious. Because he can go in and dissect all this stuff. So get out here Wednesday night. Because he's giving it to you with the left, and I'm going to give it to you with the right. Anyways, back to this message. I don't want you to think you're getting out too early. Acts 3:1-10 says, Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man came from birth, was being carried. A man lame from birth, not came from birth. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that was called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." Now that's some boldness. They took the preaching and teaching of Jesus and said, "Look at us. We're gonna give you something here." Now, I remember this song this Bible verse as a kid, and it was a song. And we keep reading, and it says, and he fixed their attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. They said it with such boldness that he put his gaze on them, he focused on them, and this is where the song comes in. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, so silver and gold have I not, but what I have, I will give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," what? "Rise up and walk." Too often, we just sit there and just, "Oh, I guess it's not time." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen? That's what the word tells us. See, I love the book of Acts, and maybe I have this later in my notes, but I love the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts so much because up until this point, we've been learning about teaching and what Jesus said, and we read earlier about things that Jesus said about authority and how to pray and declare, didn't we? And now we're seeing it in action. We're seeing it in action. Where's our action? I got caught up in the song. Nazareth, right? And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And reading some of the concordances and reading some of the stuff around this, it's really quite interesting. Like Dr. Luke explains this in other places about how this healing might have happened. But his tendons and his muscles and his ankles and everything straightened up to the position they should be. Muscles were reformed at that very moment. And when they pulled him up, he leaped up. It was like a springboard of action. It wasn't, I don't think I can do it. He leapt up. Was there doubt there? He leapt up. And he began praising the Lord and walking, and he walked with them. Boy, I'm just losing my spot because this story is so exciting and the song's in my head. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Could you imagine if that happened where we lived? If we were a people that actually lived by faith like we were called to do, if we asked with boldness like we were taught to do by his word, right? And people were just like, would leap up in wholeness. Would Rosetown look at Rosetown Community Church with some wonder and amazement and say, "Wow"? I think they would. And Peter explains that this is on the basis of faith in the name of Jesus that this happened. And it says in Acts 3:16, There? Good. And his name, by faith in his name, has made who? This man that was laying here begging for alms. His name, the name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect, what? Perfect what? Oh, it's gone. Perfect health in the presence of you all. That's a pretty awesome testimony, isn't it? And Peter explains that this is on the basis of faith in the name of Jesus. And, oh, here's my point about I love the book of Acts, because it shows these people actually living the authority that Jesus taught them to live. We need to live in that authority. People. I don't want to be Don Cherry and say you people need to live in the authority, because I don't. But we do, don't we? We need to live in that authority. We need to live with that faith, and we need to believe. We need to understand the authority that Jesus has given us. It gives us a perfect picture of how things should be. And I think too many scholars and believers, or maybe believers who are scholars, or however you want to say it, maybe they're believers that think they're scholars, want to complicate things and try to paint a picture of what this is, and oh, maybe this is what it's representing. No, this is representing this word, the scripture we just read, is representing the authority that we have been given in Jesus' name, and that people should expect to be healed and whole in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean anything other than that. It is what it is. Don't complicate and say, well, you know, it's a representation of no. It's the authority that we've been given. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? Rise up and walk. I wish our projector, I didn't have any cool things happening, but it was just, then you could see what I'm saying. But I hope you hear and see my face of what I'm saying. We have authority, don't we? Jesus is still the answer, and he's still actively interceding on our behalf, isn't he? That's what the scripture tells us. We still have the power of attorney that Jesus gave us through his death and resurrection on the cross, don't we? Everything, Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than this, than what I did. Isn't that still the fact? I didn't read later on in 1 John that, oh, but I took that back now. Did you read that? No, it doesn't say that anywhere. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he got up, and he walked, and he leaped, and he was praising God. I want us to stop living a normal life as a church, as believers. And I want us to start living a supernatural life, expecting to see miracles each and every day. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We need our faith to be built up. Not just faith in the head, but faith in the heart. Spending time in his word to understand the cross and the authority that we can walk in. I've clapped my hands a lot and they're starting to hurt. But this is about Jesus. Jesus laid his life down, didn't he? Don't give me this garbage about Jesus is weak because they took him and they crucified him. It's not that he was weak. He laid his life down for us so that we could have authority, we could have freedom, we could have healing. There's a big difference. He laid it down. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He defeated death for us, didn't he? And now he is at that position of power and authority at the right hand of God, interceding and speaking to Jesus, or to God for us. I've watched cartoons where you got hear the whole story before you stop me. I remember the show Aladdin, and there's the king, the sultan, and then there's the guy, and he's like whispering things at the king. well, this is what you should do. This is how it should happen. And I truly, I don't see Jesus as the evil, sinister guy. I don't hear that. But I hear Jesus, see, Jesus is the guy that's saying to God, Nathan asked for this. He's declared this over his life. And because of my death and resurrection, he has authority to do that. God, Father, make it so. That's how I see it. And maybe that's simplified. Maybe that seems weird to you. But he is, Jesus is at the position of authority at the right hand of God. He's not behind God. He is beside God in a position of authority. And because of that, and because of his death and resurrection, we have power of attorney. We have the same authority that Jesus has to speak those things and to call the name of Jesus. We have the power of attorney that Jesus gave us because I have faith in the things that Jesus said in his word. We were reading things that Jesus said in the book of John, were we not? Those were all things that were said by Jesus. They were all, when I pulled it out of like my Bible online, it was all red letter stuff. So that means Jesus actually said it. So if Jesus actually said it, doesn't that, do we not believe that that's truth? It says, truly, truly, I say to you, in John 14:12-14 again, whoever believes in me will also do works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to where? To the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me any, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Or this one we read earlier from Acts 3:16 just a few moments ago. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Faith. The faith that comes from reading the Word of God, the faith from having a growing, developing relationship with God, a faith that is rising up and building up inside of us as we grow in Him. Isn't that what we should be striving for? Is this faith that's building up and growing up? A faith that's rising up? Not one that's doubting, not one that's scared, not one that says, well, that was back then. So, you know, it was just, you know, the authority that God gave him, that was just back then. It was just for those guys, not for us, not for the church today. What? There's people that actually think that. That's not what the Bible tells me. There's no time limit. Okay, this is only in effect until the year 1000. And then after that, done. Sorry. Sorry to all of you that were born after the year 1000. That's not what it says. I don't see a timeline. See, the name of Jesus, it unlocks the power of heaven, doesn't it? We have an open heaven because of Jesus' death and resurrection and his ascension up to heaven. Because of Jesus, we have the wealth of heaven. The name of Jesus brings us favor wherever we go. Don't tell me, oh, it just brings a curse wherever I go. People run me out the door. I've never been run out the door. Unless somebody had some demonic thing and they were trying to get me out. But guess what? You have power and authority to get back, Satan. There's the kid. I told you guys about the song that I love, and I can't remember who sings it. And Ella will tell me later, I'm sure. But it says, "Not today, Satan. Not ever, Satan." Right? Because I have power and authority in Jesus' name. We have the influence of heaven because we have the power of attorney of Jesus in our court. Amen. See, guys, we need to recognize our rights. I'm going to invite the music team up. We have to exercise our rights of power of authority over all situations in our life. That's what the Word tells us. We can declare anything in the name of Jesus, and it will be done. It's what we've read. Oh, that's really cool. That's what we've read multiple times, though, today, haven't we? How many, we've read like five different verses, and we could have gone on forever talking about what the Bible says and these declarations that are true and we know, right? Jesus tells us that we have authority. Because of the cross, it's already been done. And it's not, it would be Communion Sunday today. But what do I say every Communion Sunday? What do we talk about? Is by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Not, we might be healed. Is that what we say? Is that what we read in Scripture? By his stripes, you may be healed. That's not what it says. It's not by his stripes, you could be healed. Let's roll some dice and let's see what happens today. That's not what it says. It's not hopefully be healed. It's by his stripes, you were healed. Meaning it's done, right? We've talked about this. We've talked about this almost every Communion Sunday for the past year and a half. We are whole and we are victorious in Jesus' name, aren't we? See, we have authority and we have victory and we are heirs with Jesus. Amen? And we're going to continue talking about this for the next number of weeks. Because I really think it's something we all need to hear and be reminded of. And as I'm here, I can't remember if I was the right or the left, Nathan, sorry. But as I'm here giving it to you with the right the next number of weeks, Wednesday night, Nathan's going to give it to you with the left. And you can't win with just a right. See, that's the cool thing about how we do things here, right? Is we got Nathan here, and we're talking the same thing in different words sometimes, but we've got the same vision, the same goal, and that's the cool thing about how God works and unites people and grows people together. Is because we can have the same mission and vision, and sometimes we word things a little differently, and maybe something he says that day will impact you, maybe something I say today will impact you, but we know you're being impacted. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Guys, would you stand with me as we pray in closing? Remember, before I close in prayer, to start living your life with the power of attorney that you've been given in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the authority that he has given each and every one of us through him laying his life down to die for us so that we may be saved through his resurrection, through his ascension to use. Thank you, God, that he is there at your right hand right now, interceding on our behalf. Father, we thank you that he is there right now, speaking what we're speaking and just rewording it sometimes and just saying, Father, that we need you. We need your healing. We need your strength. We need your blessings. We need your compassion. We need your opportunities to share those things with others as well. God, we thank you for your blessings that you pour out on us each day. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for the healing that just is available and there. God, we love you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to give people an opportunity. If you don't...